This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.
All day.
This is day one, Oshkosh 2014.
I can't believe we're back here already.
Yeah, it seems like a week we left from last year.
Honest to God, it was New Year's Day and then poof, Oshkosh.
Poof, after the snow finally melted, but anyway.
Oh man, did it ever. Phew.
And if you guys were on the field last night, we had quite an interesting treat. We watched a pair of funnel clouds go by. Yeah. Which is something I've never seen before.
I've never seen funnel clouds either. I shot video.
I've seen funnel cakes, but that's different.
Ah, funnel cake. You have to start talking about food, don't you?
Yep.
Jeez.
I don't know if you can get funnel cake here on the field.
I've never seen it here, and that's an air show staple back our way.
Yeah, well, you know.
Better funnel cake than funnel cloud. Now, we haven't heard anything about it, but there were a lot of people in Camp Scholar last night paying attention to it, us included. And I know on my Facebook page I'm going to be posting some videos as soon as I figure out how to hook into the Wi-Fi around here.
Ooh, video. He said video.
I said the V word.
Anyway, Oshkosh 2014.
A lot of stuff going on here today.
Yep, Ford, the concerts.
Yeah.
Kenny it's amazing Loggins. What this has turned into when you think about it. Just so many different things to see and do.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we saw and did last night was we were looking at the, the Cirrus jet?
Yes, the Cirrus jets came in. Two of them came in.
A pair of them came in. And we also, during the afternoon yesterday, had a pair of V-22 Ospreys.
Yeah, they parked them on the far side, though. We don't get a good look at those yet. They may bring one of them back later. I don't know.
I'm hoping they do and park it over in Boeing Plaza.
Yeah.
Ah, here he is.
Ah, the intrepid traveler.
Ah, the weasel himself. Have a seat.
There he is.
Good morning.
Fresh from all sorts of crazy activities.
Yeah, we just finished the Air Venture Cup race, and they told me that the interview was at 10:30, not 9:30. So.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
We'll understand. Wait. You're busy.
The whole everybody's getting used to Air Venture time yet. So
there is no time like Air Venture.
There's always a transition. We're talking to Eric White here,
who, amongst other things, if you look at his jacket, you'll be very confused as to what he does.
No, not at all. It's all aviation related.
Yeah, but all over the place.
Looking at his biography here.
Actually, I was very impressed.
I was too. That's amazing. How much of this is actually true?
Actually, strangely, all of it is actually true. This is my 33rd convention, and so I've been around doing it for a while.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. And I've been really fortunate to have had some really unique opportunities through being a volunteer with EAA, which has made it a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we were just looking at your airplane background, the number of aircraft you've flown. That's pretty impressive.
112, I think it is right now.
Wow. But who's counting?
Yeah, and here's the other beautiful part, too. Where did he get his aviation start? St. Cloud State University. Very heavily represented here at EAA Radio.
That's true. And actually, that's how I got started in radio, was helping out at KVSC.
There you go.
There it is. It's wonderful.
It started innocently enough with the 50-hour trivia marathon. And
yeah, you got sucked into that too, huh?
Yep.
Well, Eric, what was the most fun you ever had with an airplane?
Oh, boy.
That you can tell on the air.
Yes, yeah.
Boy, I don't know. I mean, there's been so many great stories. We've done the Air Venture Cup now 17 times. That's always a great flying weekend because we have, there's the camaraderie of all these pilots coming together from all over the country. Doing Young Eagles is always a lot of fun. The reaction that the kids have. We flew 126 kids over the weekend.
Wow.
Out at the starting line for the Air Venture Cup. Flying the Ford Trimotor on tour has been a lot of fun because people come up to you and they tell you all the stories of, my grandfather flew these, in 1930 something. And so there's just so many different ways that you can have fun with airplanes that it's kind of narrowed down.
Let's talk about that Trimotor for a second. What's it like to fly that thing?
The Ford flies like a 10,000-pound Piper Cub. And that sounds kind of like a flip statement, but the airspeed is 80 miles an hour, just like a J3. And so you have that, if you've ever flown a Cub, the control response is kind of sluggish because there's not that much airflow moving over the control surfaces. And so you have that, there's a steering wheel in the thing that's, the steering wheel out of a Model A Ford. And you put in control inputs by like the cubic handful.
And and then wait,
and it does that. But it has the momentum of a heavy airplane. So when it's, if it starts going someplace, it's not like the Cub that is very lightweight and comes right back around. There's 10,000 pounds of corrugated aluminum moving through the air. So you have, it's really like an odd cross between a J3 Cub and a King Air. But it's a lot of fun.
Wow.
How did you get qualified to fly the airplane?
they asked, and if I had been volunteering up here, and had a, they were sent a call out for pilots, and had flight experience in a bunch of different kind of airplanes, a lot of tailwheel time, heavy multi-engine time. And they said, hey, do you want to fly the Ford Trimotor? And I looked at Cody Welch, and I said, well, do you get many people who turn you down?
Yeah.
And so I went through the training course, and they runs you through a ground school, and then just like checking out in any other airplane, we go out and fly the airplane, and you stall it and do slow flight and engine out procedures and shot landings in the thing. And the way that the EA runs the Ford program, you kind of start off as a co-pilot and learn the airplane, and you fly with an experienced guy, and because there is no simulator for it, so it's all in the airplane training.
Single engine, you know, and you lose an engine. I imagine if you lose the nose engine, it's really not that big a deal.
Nope, it just slows down. If you lose one of the outboard engines, it's actually pretty exciting because the Ford does. If you look at the airplane, it doesn't sit still very long during convention because it's hauling rides all the time. But they're non-featherable fixed pitch propellers that are on the airplane, and so you've got a ton of drag moving through the air anyway. And now if you lose an engine, then that prop is out there windmilling. It's even more drag, and the airplane, you know, we won't even fly it across Lake Michigan because if you lose an engine, you need to get the airplane on the ground pretty quickly because the controls get so heavy. I mean, even with two guys, it's a lot of work on one engine.
So it doesn't have real good, like, I mean, I would think that if I've got a problem out here on the right engine, throttling back on the left engine to reduce the asymmetrical thrust might make it a little easier on me.
That would, but then you're in a slow descent because one engine's not enough snort to keep the airplane moving.
Okay, so you better be in sight of someplace to land.
Exactly, and that's why when, you know, until I started flying the airplane, Lindbergh always said that when he designed the Spirit of St. Louis, you know, all of the benefactors thought that he would be much better off in a twin-engine or a tri-motored airplane. And he said no, because that's triple the chance of an engine failure. And you know, nowadays when we have an airplane like the DC-10 or the MD-11 that's a tri-motor, you lose an engine, they can keep right on trucking to Paris, and it's not a big deal. You know, in those days, if they lost any one of the three engines, you were going to go in the drink. And so that's where he was, you know, and after flying the Ford, I mean, it's a great flying airplane, but I wouldn't want to take it across the Atlantic because of that very reason.
Gives you respect for the guys that did.
Yeah, I imagine it's a pretty simple airplane to fly. There's not a lot of systems on board.
No, there's no systems. We always joke that people can leave their cell phones on because it will not interfere with the navigation system because there is none. I mean, there's a compass on the instrument panel, and we bring a little handheld GPS with, and that's it. And 8407, which is the Eastern Air Transport Ford that the EAA owns, is one of the more authentic Fords out on, you know, we have the engine instruments are still out on the outboard panels. People are always surprised they go in the cockpit, and in the center of the panel, there's only one oil pressure, oil temperature, and one tachometer. And they're like, well, you guys got three engines, only one set of instruments. I'm like, yeah, but you look out there, and you look out there, and there's the ones for the outboard engines. I'm like, well,
I need a pair of binoculars.
It's an interesting scan. You kind of have to keep your head moving around. So it's all part of the fun of flying the airplane.
Well, now you were saying there's a lot of momentum. So I imagine you still have to stay ahead of it, like flying a jet or a King Air or something like that.
Oh, definitely, and it's the combination of having this heavy airplane with the tail dragger, and the airplane is all kinds of fun in a crosswind because you get a good gusty wind. The stall speed is so low so that you get a big gust and it can really make for an exciting afternoon. You get out after a 2-hour shift flying the airplane. You know, most of us are you're kind of tired by the end of that because you're really, you know, working the airplane pretty hard, and it's like a very physical type of flying.
So you're, after 2 hours, you're ready to hand it off.
Oh yeah.
You don't need to go to the gym anymore after that either.
No, definitely not.
I just want to ask you one quick question. You got to fly the Boomerang.
I did.
How did you get that gig?
Somebody asked. That was through the Air Venture Cup, but Trace Clements had raced with us in the past flying a Pete and Pole, and it all kind of tied together because he called me on their way from San Luis Obispo to Dayton, and he said, hey, we're flying this Pete and Pole to Oshkosh, my buddy and I, and he said, we can't race, but we'd like to just come and meet with you guys in Dayton and join in with the group and then fly with you to Oshkosh. And I said, man, if you can fly a Pete and Pole all the way from San Luis Obispo, California to Dayton on your way to Oshkosh, you know, by all means, you can come out and party with us. So they got there, and the morning of the race, they took off at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and they made like 16 stops to get from Dayton to Oshkosh. I mean, you can drive it in like 7 hours, and they took them like 9 to get here in the Pete and Pole. Bud Davidson wrote an article in EAA Today, and Bert saw that and invited Trace to come over and met with him and offered him a job at Scaled. And then, so he's been at Scaled for a while, and they Boomerang, when Bert was going to get ready to retire, Boomerang had been sitting in a hangar, and Trace came out and said, well, let's, you know, restore that airplane. And Zach Reeder restored the Catbird, and they got him flying again. So Trace came back to enter the Air Venture Cup again, and he said, hey, I'm going to bring Boomerang. Do you want to fly it with me? Well, that's a silly question. Yes, I want to fly Boomerang. I mean, what a unique opportunity, and what an amazing airplane.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a strange-looking thing. Well, anyway, Eric, we want to thank you for joining us. And this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And once again,
this is EAA Radio.